Before we pray, I want to kind of give a leader to this particular message this morning. The songs today are just fantastic in the way that they impact, and I hope all of us in that. But I just want to say for myself personally, with what the Lord has been doing with us, you know, whether it's our Friday nights or the Tuesday nights or the Wednesday nights or the Sunday mornings, there's been such a consistency and a focus, and I believe it's all in the answer to the prayer that, again, I believe that the Lord has caused us to pray. Lord, make us the church you want us to be. I know that the Lord is answering that, and the way that those songs are resonating, I would just like to say this. What the Lord has given me to teach on this morning, based on the understanding He has given me so far, if I were given the opportunity to go back or to walk into this church for the very first time, and I say that knowing that there's two gentlemen here who were with me then, Bob Knisley and Dave Remy, this would be the subject that I would teach on before we went anywhere else in Scripture. There's no other subject that so defines the purpose for why we get together and study the Lord's Word, and also gives us the direction in those studies. And I would just suggest humbly that until the Lord brings us to the understanding, even as Christians, we still stay in what the Lord says is the immature side of things. That's as far as I want to go with the introduction. Now let's go what we do, what we know we need to do, and ask the Lord to direct and guide. Father, we do continue to give you thanks. Lord, we ask for your hand upon all things, inside and outside. Those present, Lord, those who are part of this fellowship by your choice, not present with us, but our request is to be present with you. Father, and for those you would yet to bring, if there be any, Lord, that in every possible way from this point, Lord, you move every willing heart to where you want us to be, fully into your presence, which is also your perfect will, where we experience your peace. Father, for your pleasure and honor, it is our privilege to ask in faith that you would accomplish your will this morning. And so we do, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were here last Sunday, you know that a question was asked as we finished up our verse-by-verse for this time study through the Gospel of John. And the question was this: if you had to put a theme on this particular gospel, what would it be? Or another way of saying that is, we just studied this book, the Gospel of John, what's it about? And so I'm going to turn it over to you guys for a few things. Anybody who is willing, what'd you come up with? No wrong answers. Well, you know, if you say it's about making a tuna fish sandwich, yeah, there's a wrong answer. But how would you answer that? Okay, sounds nice. I gave you that kind of thing. It's like, you can't say it's about Jesus, but of course it's about Jesus, and it is about the revealing of Jesus. Anybody else willing?
John chapter 20, verse 31. But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name.
Please turn there if you haven't already this morning. I mean, I love this. It's like, I don't know if Marty looked at my notes for this morning, but I think he looked at the Lord's Word, right? We don't really have to wonder what this book is about. So let's look very carefully. And there's two things that we're seeking here this morning, is to understand what the Lord means. So if we so choose, we have enough understanding to put this into practice. In John chapter 20, verse 31, but these, so that means the things that John wrote in this gospel. But these are written that you, put your name there, These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one sent from God, the Son of God. Okay, so there's a lot there and a whole lot of study. But look at the Lord's end, which is what comes next. Once we get that, this is what the Lord wants for you, for me, for us. That believing, you may have life in his name. That believing, you may have life in his name. Not really in depth there, right? I mean, if we just look at what the Lord has very simply said, the things that I wrote in this gospel, so you'd know who Jesus is, and he gave a couple self-descriptors, and that believing, you may have life in his name. So I want to bring your focus onto a couple of words here. First off, may. You know how I usually do this, right? I read this like I'm reading out of the Bible, that believing you will have life in his name. Well, no, it says may. And so that word may, how do we think about that? May seems to indicate one of two things. The first one is, it's been made available to you. You may, right? Or, you may not. You will or you won't. Both of those are true. And the Lord puts the extra condition on that. You may, you're allowed to, and it will happen, I'm adding. If what? Well, if you believe, believing, you may have life in his name. So, if I was going to title this the theme about the Gospel of John, and I'm not whipping any new information on you. I said it at the very first message, and for the next couple or so following, I sensitized you to a word. I did my thing, hey, we're going to read and do the hand, and then you say the next word that comes. And that word was believe, right? I think about it at this way in my mind, everything that this is, but when I think about what characterizes John more than any other thing from the other gospels, in my mind, this is the believer's gospel. And it's not right for any of us, it's not good, it's not helpful for any of us to put an emphasis that the Lord hasn't put on that. So I want to just help you to keep me honest here and look at this with me. So what I'm going to do, and Bob, I'll just explain it. I'm, for the sake of just giving you some awareness and keeping you the tedium of turning thousands of pages, literally, we're just going to let a computer do a little work for us here. And so I'm projecting on the screen that verse that we just read, that our brother said, hey, this is what the Lord said this thing is about. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. All I want you to take away at this point is, well, it's believing. And the guy up there who's seeking the Lord says, hey, the theme of this book is really about believing. Oh, and it's about Jesus, right? And it's about life, and it's about salvation and those things. But we're also going to see how they're all connected this morning. So I'm going to presume, not assume, a few things about my brothers and sisters. Let's say you heard this or you're hearing it now, and you wanted to do a little Bible study. It's like, really, is this particular gospel that much different than all the others? So you would maybe do a search, and that's what I'm going to type in here. Although when I put it up for you guys, the text gets super small, and that's not really helpful. So what we're going to do is we're going to let the computer search every text in the Gospel of John for the English word believe. Right? And, oh, you can't see them. This is what I would direct your attention to. Right up here says, well, the results, 101 times in this gospel is the English word, believe. So I thought, well, a clever title for today would be Believing 101, right? The first lesson on our faith. And then we'll just look at a few of these things, right? John 1:7, first time it's used. This is, if you remember back there, that's when I was doing this and you were reading it. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. But as many as received him, speaking of Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God to those who know his name. No, it's believe in his name, Right? That whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:15. We're coming back to that one. John 3:16, the one that everybody knows, and it gets so familiar that we don't really sometimes look closely, but we're going to look closely at that today. 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I know that you can't see all of these, but you just kind of get an idea. There really are 101 verses. But you've heard me kind of put the emphasis on this. There's an underlying Greek word, right, that's translated believe, and that's only used 100 times. You'd have to sift through the other ones to find the other variation. So that's what the Lord says in John. But wait a minute, Todd. You said that's what makes John different than the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So let's kind of continue our Bible investigation here, if you will. And let's take a look at this. Let's change this, knowing that we've got 101. It's 100 in the Greek word. Let's just change it up here and see how many times in Matthew's gospel. Oh, 11. Even with my less than stellar math skills, that tells me that's pretty significant. Not that it's less important. I'm just saying the Lord sovereignly chose, hey, in John's gospel, I'm really going to put the emphasis here. Well, that's only one. We've got a couple more that we can look at here, so let's plug Mark in here next. Come on. Okay, 17 results. A couple more, six more. We'll go ahead and check it out in Luke also. Ten. So, 101 times, and I think we're just doing the English. It's very comparable in the Greek word there. I could do it, but I'm not going to belabor the point here. Far and away in the Gospel of John. Now, so let's think about this. Believing you might have life in his name. It seems to me, on the simplest level of understanding, that if we're interested in having life, we're going to have to know what the Lord means by believing. Because it also seems to me, and I hope to you at this point, that, well, if I don't believe, well, the Lord doesn't say you're going to have life. And maybe even, as you were thinking earlier, what's the Gospel of John about? Well, it is about everlasting life. And that verse even says it. And Jesus said in his great prayer in John chapter 17, this is eternal life, knowing God. Again, it's all connected. But believing that we might have life in his name. Well, I'm going to have you, well, look at a thing with me here. You've got your Bibles open. I think you're still open to chapter 20, verse 31. Go back to that verse, John chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. And just look at that and think about it with me, if you would. In John chapter 3, verse 15, Jesus is teaching Nicodemus, right, a Pharisee, a man who's in a position of authority. Jesus said, speaking of himself, the Son of God, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, we still have to talk about what life is. We referred to it briefly. It's knowing the Lord. But let me ask you this question, and I mean this with all gentleness and sincerity. Can you put before me some scriptures that tell us another way from scripture that anyone can have everlasting life? We'll talk about what that means, without believing in Jesus. Did you notice the words that whoever? Follow-up question, do you think that includes you as a Christian? Whoever does mean whoever. I can assure you that it does, and it's going to be a big part of the application this morning. Well, do you think it's accurate, based on what we've looked at this morning, to say, no believing, no life? Is that fair? I mean, not physical life that every living person enjoys, but that unique relationship, no believing, no life. Does that seem accurate? Because John wrote this, and it was recorded even for the church, that whoever believes on him would have life in his name. Well, thinking about this, maybe we could say what we're talking about today is your spiritual life. Does Scripture tell us anywhere how you should live as a Christian? Let me help you out. I'll give you another defining characteristic. If you're a Christian, you've been justified. You have put your faith in Christ as Lord. He's become your Savior. You've been born again. And you could be referred to as a justified person. That's how you enter into this relationship. You're in the process, you know, of growing, but you're a justified one or a just one. Having said that, does Scripture tell us anything about how the just one shall live? By faith. Do you know where it says it? Okay. I always want to give you an opportunity to excel. Okay, so let's look at this together here. Sarah, if you would please put on the screen Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Old Testament verse. Amazing thing that's happening between God's prophet and the Lord in the conversation, but in that, the Lord reveals an unchanging truth. Behold the proud. This verse, he starts out with a negative here. His soul is not upright in him, means he's not righteous. Proud means you're full of self. You've exalted self or your way above every other thing. And God says, that's not right. But, or by contrast, the just, the one who is right in the Lord's sight, shall live by his faith. Okay? I'm going to say, because it's listed once in the Bible, it's of supreme importance. You know by now, to the point of you can probably hardly stand me saying it again, if the Lord puts it in there a couple times, how much more is he drawing our attention to that which is supremely important? Having said that, let's look in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Speaking of the gospel, the Holy Spirit of God moved through Paul to say, for in it, the gospel, the righteousness, the right ways of God, is revealed from faith to faith. And I think that's referring to the growing process. You enter into the relationship by faith, and then by continuing in faith is how you grow. I'm going to say in parentheses, how you live. He didn't get that wordy, right? He allowed me to do that. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, we read, but that no one is justified by the law. And that's what people think. I can keep the law, I can do good things, and I'll be right or just before the Lord. And God says, no, absolutely not. That's a non-starter. That no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for God has already said, the just shall live by faith. It seems like it's kind of important thing that we're talking about. And again, here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, the Lord writes to us again, now the just shall live by his faith. Catch this next part, a little new information today, and because we're looking for an application here. If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. What would you take away from just this verse as far as if you, well, like Scripture says, made it your aim to be well-pleasing to God, what would you do? Make sure you just really got a knockout gift on Father's Day or something? What is God looking for? Well, Jesus in the Gospel of John, when asked, what shall I do the works of God? Believe on him whom he sent. Just believe me. You know, put your faith. And again, I'm just making us aware of this. Paul lived by his faith. For sake of notes, I won't turn you there. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Okay? Paul said, I'm living this life, the whole thing. So you might be wondering, it's like, what is Paul referring to? I will have you turn here. Even more important than Paul. Paul did this because, well, he was, you know, Paul wrote some interesting things to brothers and sisters. He said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. In other words, follow me the way that I'm following Christ. So if Paul said, and it is true, this life, this whole new way of living that I'm doing now, it's not me doing it, it's God, I'm doing it by faith. Well, then it would follow that it would be true, if he's an imitation of Jesus, that Jesus lived his life by faith. Does that make sense? You with me so far? Everybody smelling what I'm cooking at this point? Okay. Now let me ask you, scripturally, is that true? Did Jesus live by faith? Okay. The answer is, well, yes, he did. How do we know that? We know that because Jesus said, I only do that which pleases the Father. And in the great textbook definition section of faith in Scripture in Hebrews, we are told without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you put those two together and you come to the point. Jesus lived his life as a man here on earth and every other way, right? By faith, doing that which was pleasing. A couple different aspects as we look at this. And you can find that, by the way, in John 8:29 and Hebrews 11:6. Now, here's a thing when maybe pressed for a definition, until you work it out from Scripture, this might not be clear in your mind. In John, it was written that whoever would believe would have life in his name, right? And life, we're told in Scripture, well, you have that if you live by faith. So somehow we already know that there is a connection that you can't break apart between faith and believing and eternal life. I'd like to break that down for you right now. Faith, we can use it as a noun or a verb. Faith is what we refer to as our relationship. Some people, their religious practice, but I'm going with what God wants, not what he allows. Our relationship, faith, is how we live. Faith equals life. Okay, but to break down the word faith, there's two essential components. Both must be there. And if you're a diagrammer, I imagine you'd write faith on top, put two little arrows underneath faith. And you would first write this word underneath faith, know, right? And then next to know, you might put the plus sign, and you would put believe. Okay, let's break this down. In Scripture, we are told in the book of Romans, chapter 10, that faith comes by and hearing by the word of God. If the just shall live by faith, and stand, we know, okay, so there's faith has an object, right? We're going to talk about that in a moment. But it begins with the facts of God's word. Not your belief about them, right? Like what you think it means, it's what God thinks it means. Getting that wrong is really a painful learning curve, but helpful ultimately. God, I thought this is what you wanted. It's not what I said, but it's what I wanted you to say. It's not what I said, but I think you might change your mind. I'm not going to, right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So it starts with the word of God. And man, there's one in almost every hotel room in America and most homes, or I don't know if that's even true anymore. Right? Sometimes even in churches nowadays, you'll find one. So it's not about just having it. It's about knowing what God has said. And for today, he said, well, if you believe, I wrote these things that you believe, and you believe you'll have life in my name. Okay. Back to faith. Faith starts out first with knowing. This is why I said at the beginning, understanding this subject is going to have forevermore, and has in the past, whether we knew it or not, provided the reason and the direction for why we study the Bible. You have to know what God has said before you can believe it. You have to accurately know what he means by that. I have that maxim that I use often and will again. Only those who know can grow. I put the emphasis on can because it's not a guarantee. What do you mean? I want to save somebody from the pitfall of thinking, I'm a Christian, I go to a church that teaches the word, they get it right, therefore I'm living the life that Jesus has in mind. I got all the teachings. I got the video conferences. I've got my favorite Bible. I just am one of my greatest joys is to learn. And don't let me make you think that I'm diminishing the joy of discovery. What I am saying, there is a joy. What I'm saying is don't be fooled by that joy is the end of it. It's the beginning. It's the ticket to the dance. God spoke to me today. I know it was him because my sheep hear my voice. And he communicated to me in a way that I can hear. That's it. Mission accomplished. No. The first part of the mission. God wants us to live by faith. Only those who know can grow, not will grow. So faith, two words undergirding it. Know, first one, we've talked about it. Now the next one is believe. Again, my maxim is only those who believe will receive. You might say, receive what? Receive what God intends. Everlasting life. That relationship. So under faith is comprised of both knowing and believing what God has said. Believing is simply the appropriate response. If Jesus communicates something, trust me and I'll make it happen, that's it. Maybe it's a prayer. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Lord, I need to understand what you want me to know by this. And I'm not going to seek anything else but you. And I'll just stay with that until you answer because you promised. That's an example of putting faith into what God has said. There's so many things, all of which are necessary. That's why we study. Now, if I just knew that but never did it, I'd have the joy of learning, but I wouldn't have life. Remember at the beginning I said faith equals life? Faith means knowing plus believing, and you could put underneath that, equals life. Now, no believing, no life. Said that at the beginning, had an opportunity just to spell that out. We looked at that a little more closely in John chapter 3:15 and 3:16. Jesus said it so clearly at the beginning. Whomsoever would believe would have everlasting life. Right? This is like the just shall live by their faith. Now we learned something else as we're thinking about what does the Lord want us as a church individually and together to know by going through the Gospel of John. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, I came that they would have and have it more abundantly. So let's continue our logic practice here. If there's no believing, there's no life. If you want more abundant life, you have to have more abundant faith or believing, right? You have to know what God says and you have to put it into practice more. Because if you don't, well, you can get more learning without having more life. But what the Lord wants for us and everybody else, more abundant. I want to see more of that. And you know what comes as a byproduct? And I think sometimes, well, maybe just me, maybe you too, get this wrong. Because I'm seeking after the Lord, you promised peace. I'm not in your peace. But Todd, you're just after the result and you're neglecting the process here. The peace that comes from fellowship, all that happens when I, and only when I, and when you too, if you're thinking, oh, there's a hook, this just applies to Todd here, find out what the Lord has said about that particular situation. Let me ask you a question. Has there ever been a time in your life when you've been a little disturbed about something? Doesn't matter what the something is. It might be a family thing. It might be a work thing. Don't say it's about the teaching thing, right? You know, things. Is there anybody here who would honestly say no to that? Have you ever gone a day in your life yet? That's probably a question that only God could answer. Now, having got your attention, is there something in God's word that he knows, that he's put there, that applies to every situation? I don't have to name the situations. The answer is a resounding yes, because the Lord says he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Jesus prayed, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. The truth of that which makes for life that I have to know and believe so I can grow and be with him, well, is in here. Again, that's why we study. But how many times have you heard what it was and maybe had the joy but not had the peace? Please, please notice the disconnect. Or maybe you say, no, I know that. I remember a challenging situation. The Lord brought me into a trial or allowed that trial to come into my life because he wanted me to know his goodness, his power, his peace, his provision, his protection, his perfection, on and on and on in that situation. So I just gutted it out until it passed. No, that's not how it worked. I was just finally, I came to the end of everything I knew to do, and before I went down for the last time, I cried out, God, help me. And he reminded me of something. I found it that, you want me to do this? Yeah. And I did it. I trusted him. And I can't even explain how it happened, but I can tell you this. There's a peace that I can't produce came to me from him in that situation. That's how it works. That's how he works. That's what he wants us to know. Or that time situation is like, that's it. I don't have enough. I just don't have enough anything for the required situation, the bill, the doctor's diagnosis, the family quarrel. But he does, always and forevermore. And oh, actually, he wants you to see more of it. And as a result of that, he wants to see, others will see more of it through us. That abundant life comes by knowing what God has said and then believing. I would like to reiterate here a couple things. More abundant life requires more abundant believing. If we're going to become the church he wants us to be, that means we're going to have to grow all the way up. That means the Lord is saying more of that. So, why are we talking about it today? We're going into another book. What are we going to do with it? Well, I already know what that says. What have you done with it? Because that's going to be the difference between us becoming more that he wants or simply not. Our faith is based on believing the facts. The facts are in the Lord's word, no place else. Jesus said, sanctify them by your truth. So we're looking to Scripture. That is why we study the Bible. It's just my personal thing. It might be my personal thing. It might be the Lord, but with sadness, I have noticed that there's an abundance of people who seem to have missed that. I'm just going for the Bible study. I've seen that in Bible teaching churches. But you've heard, and it's not connecting. Here's a freebie from our Friday night study. You know what the Lord does to make us desire his solution? He creates a need in your life that you cannot solve any other way. He will bring you to the point that you cry out to him. We talked about that in depth Friday. Now let me remind you of the video clip that I've almost worn out. Of the guy standing on the edge of the cliff with the book, right? Remember the one that I'm talking about from the Indiana Jones movie? Do you remember the circumstances that caused him to step out into the canyon of death with no visible means of support? There was a need. Somebody he loved was dying, was going to die unless he got across. The book that he thought was trustworthy said, you step here, it'll be okay, and you remember that. Here's the point for today. There was a need. I thought about that again. You know, if it were just me, I might probably not have gone. I can cope, but it's somebody else. I just thought, what a picture that inadvertently Hollywood got right again. God will do that with me. He will take me and you beyond our limits of what we can do for ourselves to make us trust in him in areas where we are not. And he's very patient and he's got time. Just, it has to be. The Lord has promised, he who has begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. There's no end run around God's plan. Again, read the book of Jonah, right? Jonah is the picture perfect for that. The Lord would like us to see that lesson and not become that lesson. What he wants us to do is just, and we'll get to the practical nature of this in a moment, learn how this directly affects us. Another thing I wanted to bring up here, a couple things. Back to that video clip. There was the guy who was going through all kinds of horrible emotions. Didn't really want to step out into what he thought was certain death, apart from the words, but he did it. He had his anxieties and he had his fear. Faith is not based according to feelings, it's according to facts. In his book, he stepped out, and then, well, he saw how that was going to work out, right? I asked a question on Friday night that I want to kind of break down here a little bit, if I can. Everybody heard the word paradox? What's the definition? You go down to Lake Erie where the boats are tied up. There's two docks. There you go, paradox. No, that's not it, right? Okay, so if you type this into your Google search engine, this is the one that comes up, and it's wonderful. I'll read it to you because you may or may not be able to see it. This definition of the word paradox is a seemingly absurd or self-contradictory statement or proposition. That's how we usually think of it. But it adds this, that when investigated or explained may prove to be well-founded or true. In other words, in that video clip, hey, you step out here and it's going to work. Oh, that's absurd, man. That's actually foolhardy. But when he stepped out, when he investigated, and here's the problem with this definition, when it comes to scriptural things, not may find to be proven true, are non-negotiably, absolutely 100% true. Seemingly absurd or contradictory statements, such as, like, the way up is actually the way down. What? You know, humble yourself before the Lord and he'll lift you up. Or whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. That's absurd. That's completely opposite to the way. Not to the life of faith. Not to a believer. So, a paradox. And the reason we came here is, as an added benefit to the person who thinks, when I go to the study and I understand, you don't have the full understanding. You don't see. You have the intellectual aspect that provides the necessary thing to take the next step of believing. And it's only by believing that you see or understand, and that word we've used a lot, experientially. Now I see how this works. Well, I've been there. It's been, we sang it today. How I've proved him over and over. Every time I've done this thing, which I don't see how it works out, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God says, oh, it works. It has worked. It's the paradox that I first heard and I like to use, that the world says, seeing is believing. But for the eyes of faith, that other song that we sang, open the eyes of my heart, believing results in seeing, or that necessary understanding of life. So faith comes by hearing. Hearing is equal to the facts, certainties. We're used to probabilities. We pray like that, and we need to change. I'm hoping today. Hey, lift up a prayer for me. God might do something about it. I might suggest you, if you know better, if you've been through this study, you stop that, because that's very insulting to the Lord. What do you mean I might do what I said? Well, I pray for... Well, wait a minute. Here's an example. What would be the faith? What has God said he would do? I don't know. Well, wait a minute. I remember he said, if I lack wisdom, I could ask him. He'll guide me. Father, I just want to know what you want me to know about this. That's exercising faith in facts. And the Lord does it. Well, he said, I will do this. But that's not what I want. Well, you can do it your way, which is going to be painful. Or you can do it my way, is where I am. Joy and peace. Okay. All right, Lord. I'm going to ask for this because you've shown me. I'm in a tough situation. Father, I might be leaning on my own. Actually, you showed me. I've been trying to do this my way. And I've not been seeking you. And I'm frustrated and I act like a spoiled kid. Oh, my God, give my prayers answered. He loves me too much to answer those kinds of prayer. For speaking just for myself because I know better. Let me confess a horrible fact. I still find myself doing it until I redirect my mind. Seek the Lord. Oh, Lord, I was asking, this is a hard situation. I better check in with the Lord. Wait a minute. How did I get here? What am I doing here? Okay, Lord, you've got my complete attention. And he graciously guides me to where he wants me to be. It's the life of faith, I believe, because in his word he said reproofs of instruction are the way of life. I'm so thankful for that. So we shouldn't deal with God as dealing with probabilities. God might answer this. There's a 51% chance. Jesus said, you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Again, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, one last thing together in this, I would consider essential thing that the Lord is directing our attention to today. Speaking of faith, by now I'm hoping that you have a working definition of what the Lord means by believing. Believing is really the second part of something synonymous with faith. I got to know what God says. I've got to believe it. That's what faith is. That's how I live. The just shall live by faith. Where do we find the facts that we put our trust or believe in? It's a follow-up question here. Anybody? Is it flash quiz? The Word of God. Is everybody clear on that? You will be. I'm confident of it. If you're not now, or if you're willing not now, if you're going to test it, the Lord will show that to you. But I don't want to encourage you that way. There's something here in God's Word that I would like you to see. So we'll go back to this one, and I've highlighted it, and it's found in the book of Romans, and it's a principle. Let me go ahead and bring it up here. Okay, this is the translation that I read from and teach from primarily, right? And he's talking about a situation where the people were involved, and what do we do, and there's even people are being offended, and then he breaks it down. And I'll just pick it up here in verse 23. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats. It was a situation about eating and drinking. But within the Lord's guidance, he brings forth this principle. And the Lord said this, because he does not eat from faith, here it comes. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Now, we need to look at that, and we need to understand what God means and make sure that we have his perspective and not the one that maybe we have been using or we want to be true but is true. Whatever is not from faith is sin. Okay. There's several problem words in there for me. The first being whatever. We'll explore it. Not from faith. I've got a good grip on what faith is. It's finding out what God says, and it's accepting and believing and trusting that to be true. Let's talk about sin for a moment. By now, anybody who's been first out, you know what sin is. Sin is not what God wants, right? There's a Greek word, hamartia. Hamartiology is the study of sin. But sometimes used, the illustration is common and correct, of an archery term, right, where the arrow misses the mark, or falling short. And all of those things together, it means having something other than, which is ultimately something less than God's perfect will for your life. I think of it this way, and I hope that you will you will hear this as an invitation from the Lord, because he doesn't compel us, right, with force and cruelty, but he teaches his kids and is constantly inviting us. It's like Jesus is saying, my son, my daughter, I've provided for you a relationship that I've put forth in the book. It's about peace, and it's about security. It's about joy in my presence. It's about a future that cannot be taken away from us. But in order to make that happen, well, it's got to be his way. It's just simply that simple. So sin is, yes, it's falling short. It's something less. And I know how my flesh works. And because I know flesh is the same, I know how your flesh works. I'm looking for a loophole here, right? Whatever is not from faith, right? What do you mean? Well, very simply, do I want the abundant life that he has? I got to find out what he has to say. Let's break this down, because you know that there's a translation. Oftentimes I encourage the word studies. Hey, check other accurate translations. I'll save you some page turning just from other translations where teams and teams of translators who understand the language better than any of us, I believe, have broken this down. So we'll look at another good translation. I'm going to pop up the English Standard Version on that. Whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Still, that word whatever doesn't come from faith. Well, I'm a believer. I think I'm going to do this. Lord, what would you have me do? Todd, you're coming short. I'll let you do it. But I've got something better if you're willing to just ask me. Okay, well, let's look at it. This is a scholarly translation from the Lexham. But again, it says, everything that is not from faith is sin. I know we've got some NASB people in the fellowship. Good literal translation. It says, whatever is not from faith is sin. I like the Net Bible, because they did it in its beta mode or whatever on the web. Put it out there for every scholar out there to take a shot at this and saying, hey, you're mishandling the language. And all these people came into agreement on this passage. Whatever is not from faith is sin. You can do the word study, and I won't belabor the point. But that's what it means, right? So what do you do with that? Well, ultimately, hopefully what the Lord wants you to do with it, if we're going to grow, we'll be doing more of this. I've got some plans today. Great. Are they yours? Or are they his? Well, I did devotions. Well, what's God using the church to do with us? Grow us or transform us into the image of Christ, right? That comes through faith. Well, how many times did Jesus do his thing that was apart from the Father's thing? It's an easy answer. It's not possible. Ultimately, he's bringing us on the path to become like that. He wants us to come voluntarily. Do not be like the horse or the mule that I have to bridle. I will guide you with my eye. I love that. Where's the Lord looking? Well, I've magnified my word above my name. Right here. Look here. And this is where he's given me to put our attention. Guys, this is where I'm looking. You're asking. I'm answering, the Lord would say. You want this? Here's how it will happen. Here's how it works. Whatever it is. Right? Father, what do you have? Try the Lord in this. You promised, if I ask anything, Lord, I need to know what your will is for my life. You know, the Lord might give us a book coming up that would speak to us about his will. I think he already has, right? That believing you would have life in his name, but he'll make it even more specific as we study through the rest of it. How about that? It's like, wow, but that means I would be walking in the Spirit, not the flesh. Well, what happens when I walk in the Spirit? love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. As compared in Galatians, the works of the flesh are evident. All those nasty things. It's a simple thing, right? And it's just our Father identifying the process. Guys, here's how it's working. It's no mystery. I want you to come over my way. Bible studies are great. Don't think that's the end of it. Bible studying is not life. There were a lot of religious people who knew a lot of scripture that didn't walk with Jesus in the Bible. I'm thinking there's going to be a lot of people with theology degrees in hell, unfortunately, that might know the original languages inside and out. I think there's a lot of believers who love to study the Bible. Well, I don't think there's a lot of believers. But I think there are a lot of believers who are coming short, staying in a perpetual state of immaturity. Where the Lord is saying, no, that's not the way. But he is implementing his faithful process. So as we wrap this up, practically speaking, what's it look like? Well, it looks like, what does your day look like? Well, I've got to do this. It's the family thing. And it's like, actually, I couldn't be here today. See, this doesn't apply to anybody here. I couldn't be here today because, you know, the family was getting together. Okay. Did you ask the Lord if he wants you there versus here? Well, no, but you see, here's the thing. It's like, if I don't go, this is a big thing. It's Ernie and Esther's 378th wedding anniversary, and the whole family's going to be there. And if I don't, that's just going to cause all kinds. They're all going to be unhappy. Nobody's going to be pleased with me. Okay. So the focus is on pleasing people. The just shall live by faith. What does God's word say? I make it my aim to please my fam. Well, if I'm going to make it my aim to please, well, first I should just ask him, right? Because the Lord has said I'm supposed to please him, and without faith it's impossible to please him. But you don't understand. It's my brothers and my sisters and my mother. But wait, hasn't Jesus spoken about that? Who are my mother? And who are my brothers? Jesus said, those who do the will of God are my mothers and my brothers and my sisters. That's a big one, guys. They're all big ones. I think that's why the Lord wrote about them. I'd like to be there, but if I don't, the ship is going to sink. The mortgage is due. The car needs fixing. I got to work this. Yeah, because God's not all-knowing and all-powerful. And again, if we've consulted the Lord and the Lord says, well, then that's where you should be. But you would also know that. Now, it's not the primary issue, right? The way we live our life is the primary issue. It just manifests that way. Times like, well, who am I going to marry? This is what I'm looking for. Does the Lord want you married? Right? Because I got a place in his word that says, if you don't have a wife, don't seek one. And I've got plenty of examples that if he wants you to have one, he'll bring you one. Yeah, but that would be going by the... not what I want. Oh. Over and there's not one circumstance. And I hesitate to list them because it sounds like I'm enumerating things here. And the simple truth is everything. Right? How I spend my recreational time. Well, that's chapter and verse that. I find it's my joy in the Lord. Right? Wow. And if I'm doing anything and he's not there, he's not directing, I'm falling short of what it could be, what he wants it to be. The word is sin. So brothers and sisters, let me close with this, because that's where he closed with me in the study. Going forward from this point, new day for a new church, the church that wants to be what God wants it to be. Have no delusions. When we come together on a Wednesday or a Friday and we seek the Lord, or a Sunday, say, Father, speak to us. And he does, and it's joyful. You're only halfway there. that will not make us into the church that God wants us to be unless we put our faith, unless we put it into practice, unless we believe. Last thing before we pray. The other day, interesting situation. I was out front early in the morning. I think I was watering the plants. Brother Ed pulled up in a car, right? Going to the library kind of thing. Hey, morning, Ed. Morning, Todd. He's doing the library. I'm doing my plants. It was cool. And so I'm out there doing the plants. And there's a guy in the car, a car. He's asking about the church. I'm kind of hearing that. What conversation? It sounds like they're talking about the church. And a guy in the car is hollering out the window asking about, well, what kind of church is that? Because the library uses the parking out front. And my neighbor is out front on his porch, and he's telling them what kind of church this is. Never been in here, right? It's like, okay, well, they have Bible studies and this and that. And at that point, I must have rounded the corner with the hose, and he saw me, and he does the... And he's like, are you the... Yeah, I'm Todd. And it was... Here's why I'm bringing that up. What kind of church is that? Here's what he said. Well, they have Bible studies there. Well, we do, praise God. But what would have been just and I don't expect this from him, but my hope is for all of us that actually this would come from the Lord Jesus. If somebody asked him, hey, what kind of church is that one? They're a bunch of believers. They believe me. They live by faith. Well, how do you feel about them? I am so pleased with this group. That's what he wants. That's what's possible. That's where he's directing us. Let's give thanks. Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, I could not have brought this to the brothers and sisters with the understanding if it hadn't been for everything that you have done for all of these years. Lord, and I am convinced and I am thankful that this is your very word to your people that meet here today. And in addition to that, the foundation on which you will build your church. There can be no other. It's never been up to us, Lord. It never will be. Even to manage this free gift of choice, Lord, we just look to you. I find myself in the position in your word of the Father that had the demon-possessed son. You told him, all things are possible if you will believe. And he replied, Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Father, that is the cry of my heart, and I believe my brothers and sisters. It's also a recognition of the process that we are growing, but with a greater understanding. And Father, I ask appreciation. Lord, I ask that you would fully do what I cannot, and explain and apply and confirm your word to your people who are seeking. Father, give us the wisdom you would want to help others. If you have, by your grace, taught us and have given us an opportunity to help others explain this, please guide us. You are the head. We are the body. Please be well pleased to direct us as you would. Lord, as we sing this last song together as a group today, may you be honored, Father, by the condition of our heart, the desire of every regenerate heart, singing from the Spirit the truths, Lord, of what you have selected. Lord, that you are well pleased. Ask, I do thank you in faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand and sing his praises? Amen.